Trinadapi sunichena tarariva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Haryanama 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 eva kebalam galo nastyeva 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 gatir anyata. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as given to us by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Chapter number 73. Lord Krishna returns to the city of Hastinapur. The kings and princes released by Lord Krishna after the death of Jarasandha were rulers of different parts of the world. Jarasandha was so powerful in military strength that he had conquered all these princes and kings, numbering 20,800. They were all incarcerated within a mountain cave, especially constructed as a fort, and for a long time they were kept in that situation. When they were released by the grace of Lord Krishna, they all looked very unhappy. Their garments were niggardly, and their faces were almost dried up for want of proper bodily care. They were very weak due to hunger, and their faces had lost all beauty and luster. The king's long imprisonment had caused every part of their bodies to become slack and invalid. However, because in that miserable condition, they had had the opportunity to think about Lord Krishna, they immediately saw him now as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. They saw that the color of the transcendental body of Lord Krishna resembled the hue of a newly arrived cloud in the sky. He appeared before them, nicely covered by yellow silken garments and with four hands like Vishnu, carrying the different symbols of the club, the conchel, the disc, and the lotus flower. His chest was marked with a golden line, and the nipples on his chest appeared like the whorls of lotus flowers. His eyes appeared to spread like the petals of a lotus, and his smiling face exhibited the symbol of eternal peace and prosperity. He wore glittering shark-shaped earrings, and his helmet was bedecked with valuable jewels. The Lord's necklace of pearls and the bangles and bracelets nicely situated on his body all shone with a transcendental beauty. The Kaustubha jewel hanging on his chest glittered with great luster, and the Lord wore a beautiful flower garland. After so much distress, when the kings and princes saw Lord Krishna with his beautiful transcendental features, they looked upon him, to their heart's content, as if drinking nectar through their eyes, licking his body with their tongues, smelling the aroma of his body with their noses, and embracing him with their arms. Just by dint of their being in front of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all reactions to their sinful activities were washed away. Therefore, without reservation, they surrendered themselves at the lotus feet of the Lord. It is stated in the Bhagavad Gita that unless one is freed from all sinful reactions, one cannot fully surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord. All the princes who saw Lord Krishna forgot all their past tribulations. With folded hands and with great devotion, they offered prayers to Lord Krishna as follows. Dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, Master of all demigods, you can immediately remove all your devotees' pangs because your devotees are fully surrendered unto you. O dear Lord Krishna, O eternal deity of transcendental bliss and knowledge, you are imperishable, and we offer our respectful obeisances unto your lotus feet. It is by your causeless mercy that we have been released from the imprisonment of Jarasandha. But now we pray that you release us from the imprisonment within material existence, your illusory energy. Please stop our continuous cycle of birth and death. We now have sufficient experience of the miserable material life in which we are fully absorbed, and having tasted its bitterness, we have come to take shelter under your lotus feet. Therefore, please give us your protection. Dear Lord, O killer of the demon Madhu, we can now clearly see that Jarasandha was not at fault in the least. It is actually by your causeless mercy that we were bereft of our kingdoms, for we were very proud of calling ourselves rulers and kings. A ruler or king who becomes too much puffed up with false prestige and power gets no opportunity to understand his real constitutional position and eternal life. Under the influence of your illusory energy, such a foolish so-called ruler or king becomes falsely proud of his position, just like a foolish person who considers a mirage in the desert a reservoir of water. Foolish persons think that their material possessions will give them protection. Engaged in sense gratification, they accept this material world as a place of eternal enjoyment. O Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, we must admit that before this we were puffed up with our material opulences. It was as if we were intoxicated, because we were all envious and wanted to conquer one another. We all engaged in fighting for supremacy, even at the cost of sacrificing the lives of many citizens. This is the disease of political power. As soon as a king becomes rich in material opulences, he wants to dominate other nations by military aggression. Similarly, mercantile men want to monopolize a certain type of business and control other mercantile groups. Impelled by false prestige and infatuated by material opulences, human society, instead of striving for Krishna consciousness, creates havoc and disrupts peaceful living. Thus, men forget the real purpose of life, which was to attain the favor of Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The kings continued, O Lord, we were simply engaged in the abominable task of killing citizens and alluring them to be unnecessarily killed just to satisfy our political whims. We did not consider that your lordship is always present before us in the form of cruel death. We were so foolish that we became the cause of death for others, forgetting our own impending death. But, dear Lord, the force of the time element, which is your representative, is certainly insurmountable. The time element is so strong that no one can escape its influence. Therefore, we have received the reactions of our atrocious activities, and we are now bereft of all opulences and stand before you like street beggars. We consider our position, your causeless, unalloyed mercy upon us, because now we can understand that we were falsely proud and that our material opulences could be withdrawn from us within a second by your will. By your causeless mercy only, we are now able to think of your lotus feet. This is our greatest gain. Dear Lord, everyone knows that the body is a breeding ground of diseases. Now we are quite aged, and instead of being proud of our bodily strength, we are getting weaker day by day. We are no longer interested in sense gratification or the false happiness derived through the material body. By your grace, we have now come to the conclusion that hankering after such material happiness is just like searching for water in a desert mirage. We are no longer interested in the results of our pious activities, such as performing great sacrifices to be elevated to the heavenly planets. We now understand that such elevation to a higher material standard may sound very relishable, but actually, there cannot be any happiness within this material world. We pray for your Lordship to favor us by instructing how to engage in the transcendental loving service of your lotus feet, so that we may never forget our eternal relationship with your Lordship. We do not want liberation from the entanglement of material existence. By your will, we may take birth in any species of life. It does not matter. We simply pray that we never forget your lotus feet under any circumstances. Dear Lord, we now surrender unto your lotus feet by offering our respectful obeisances unto you, because you are the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the Son of Vasudeva. You are the Super Soul in everyone's heart, and you are Lord Hari, who can take away all miserable conditions of material existence. Dear Lord, your name is Govinda, the reservoir of all pleasure, because one who is engaged in satisfying your senses satisfies his own senses automatically. Dear Lord, you are ever famous, for you can put an end to all the miseries of your devotees. Please, therefore, accept us as your surrendered servants. For my own purification, I'm going to repeat one of the sentences that we just read. Dear Lord, your name is Govinda, the reservoir of all pleasure. Because one who is engaged in satisfying your senses satisfies his or her own senses automatically. After hearing the prayers of the kings released from the prison of Jarasandha, Lord Krishna, who is always the protector of surrendered souls and the ocean of mercy for the devotees, replied to them as follows in his sweet, transcendental voice, which was grave and full of meaning. My dear kings, I bestow upon you my blessings. From this day forth, you will be attached to my devotional service without fail. I give you this benediction as you have desired. You may know from me that I am always sitting within your hearts as the Super Soul. And because you have now turned your faces toward me, I, as master of everyone, shall always give you good counsel so that you may never forget me, and so that gradually you will come back home, back to Godhead. My dear kings, your decision to give up all conceptions of material enjoyment and turn instead toward my devotional service is factually the symptom of your good fortune. Henceforward, you will always be blessed with blissful life. I confirm that all you have spoken about me in your prayers is factual. It is a fact that the materially opulent position of one who is not fully Krishna conscious is the cause of one's downfall and one's becoming a victim of the illusory energy. In the past, there were many rebellious kings, such as Haihai, Nahusha, Vaina, Ravana, and Narakasura. Some of them were demigods, some of them were demons. But because of their false perception of their positions, they fell from their exalted posts, and thus they no longer remained kings of their respective kingdoms, and were lost in the violence of abominable conditioned life. Every one of you must understand that anything material has its starting point, growth, maintenance, expansion, deterioration, and finally, disappearance. All material bodies are subject to these six conditions, and any relative acquisitions accumulated by this body are definitely subject to final destruction. Therefore, no one should be attached to perishable things. As long as one is within this material body, he should be very cautious in worldly dealings. The most perfect way of life in this material world is simply to be devoted to my transcendental loving service and to execute honestly the prescribed duties of one's particular position. As far as you are concerned, you all belong to Kshatriya families. Therefore, you should live honestly according to the prescribed duties befitting the royal order and make all your citizens happy in all respects. Keep to the standard of Kshatriya life. Do not beget children out of sense gratification, but simply take charge of the welfare of the people in general. Everyone takes birth in this material world in continuation of one's previous life, and thus he or she is subject to the stringent laws of nature, such as birth and death, distress and happiness, profit and loss. One should not be disturbed by duality, but should always be fixed in my devotional service, and thus remain balanced in mind and satisfied in all circumstances, considering all things to be given by me. Thus, one can live a very happy and peaceful life, even within this material condition. In other words, one should actually be callous to the material body and its byproducts, and should be unaffected by them. One should remain fully satisfied in the interest of the spirit soul and engage in the service of the supersoul. One should engage his or her mind only in thinking of me. One should simply become my devotee. One should simply worship me, and one should offer his respectful obeisances unto me alone. In this way, one can cross over this ocean of nations very easily and at the end come back to me. In conclusion, your lives should constantly be engaged in my service. After delivering his instructions to the kings and princes, Lord Krishna immediately arranged for their comfort and asked many servants and maidservants to take care of them. Lord Krishna requested Sahadev, the son of King Jarasandha, to supply all necessities to the kings and show them all respect and honor. In pursuance to the order of Lord Krishna, Sahadev offered them all honor and presented them with ornaments, garments, garlands, and other paraphernalia. After taking their baths and dressing very nicely, the kings appeared happy and gentle. Then they were supplied nice food. Lord Krishna supplied everything for their comfort, as befitting their royal positions. Since the kings were so mercifully treated by Lord Krishna, they felt great happiness, and their bright faces appeared just like the stars in the sky after the end of the rainy season. All nicely dressed and ornamented, their earrings glittering, they were then seated on chariots bedecked with gold and jewels and drawn by decorated horses. After seeing that each was taken care of, Lord Krishna, in a sweet voice, asked them to return to their respective kingdoms. By his liberal behavior, unparalleled in the history of the world, Lord Krishna released all the kings who had been in the clutches of Jarasandha, and the kings, being fully satisfied, began to chant his holy name, think of his holy form, and glorify his transcendental pastimes as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus engaged, they returned to their respective kingdoms. The citizens of their kingdoms were greatly pleased to see them return, and when they heard of the kind dealings of Lord Krishna, they were all very happy. The kings began to manage the affairs of their kingdoms in accordance with the instructions of Lord Krishna, and all those kings and their subjects passed their days very happily. This is a vivid example of a Krishna-conscious society. If the people of the world, taking into account their respective material qualities, divide the whole society into four orders for material progress and four orders for spiritual progress, centering these orders on Krishna and following the instructions of Krishna as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, the entire human society will undoubtedly be happy. This is the lesson we have to take from this incident. After thus causing the annihilation of Jarasandha by Bhimasena, and after being properly honored by Sahadev, the son of Jarasandha, Lord Krishna, accompanied by Bhimasena and Arjuna, returned to the city of Hastinapur. When they reached the precincts of Hastinapur, they blew their respective conchals, and by hearing the sound vibrations and understanding who was arriving, everyone immediately became cheerful. But the enemies of Krishna, upon hearing the conchals, were very sorry. The citizens of Indraprastha felt their hearts become joyful simply by hearing the vibration of Krishna's concho, because they could understand that Jarasandha had been killed. Now, the performance of the Rajasuya sacrifice by King Yudhishthira was almost certain. Bhimasena, Arjuna and Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, arrived before King Yudhishthira and offered their respects to the king. King Yudhishthira attentively heard the narration of the killing of Jarasandha and the setting free of the kings. He also heard of the tactics adopted by Krishna to kill Jarasandha. The king was naturally affectionate toward Krishna, but after hearing the story, he became even more bound to him. Tears of ecstasy glided from his eyes, and he was so stunned that he was almost unable to speak. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 73rd chapter of Krishna. Lord Krishna returns to the city of Hastinapur.
Shakhanitanshtam Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaurabhakta Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.